In the name of the true and living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. A widow haunts my dreams these days, but she is not the widow of Zarephath, whom we heard about this morning, who, although she was about to starve to death herself, fed the prophet Elijah her last morsels of food and found that God supplied sustenance to keep her and her son and the prophet alive. And she is not the widow who puts her 2 cents in the treasury, what we used to call the widow's mite, who we heard about in Mark's gospel this morning. Neither of these is the widow that haunts me. She's a widow about whom I have not told you before today, although I imagine that some of you have harbored suspicions about her. Others have wondered, but been afraid to guess, maybe afraid to hope about her. You have thought it rude to wonder too much about her circumstances. There is this widow, you see, who lived a simple life. She'd been a widow so long that none of us could even remember her husband. We just assumed that she'd had one long ago because she'd always been referred to as a widow. She was never well known. You are struggling to remember her name, I can see, even now, but I think that you know where she sat in church. Nowhere obvious, always off on one of the side aisles. She had not many friends, but she was a faithful churchgoer. And you would have supposed, if you stopped to suppose these things, that she was faithful, if not an extravagant, supporter of the church. She made the kind of financial contribution that will be missed, but will not be disastrously missed. This makes sense, since you and I always believed, if we stopped to worry about her at all, that she had enough but not too much, if you know what I mean. We've heard about widows like this before, gentle, quiet, unassuming women in their communities, almost entirely unremarkable while they are alive. But in death, their great secret is revealed. And it is always the same secret, although the details vary from story to story. Have you guessed yet who the widow is? Can you picture her in your mind's eye? Do you remember now if she sat on your side of church or on the other side? Have you remembered her name? Do you remember wondering if she was childless too? No heirs to consider? Or was she? Wasn't there someone sitting next to her at Christmas and at Easter, a child home for the holidays perhaps, or a nephew, maybe a niece? Maybe there was a family and they were kept at bay or stayed at bay of their own accord. Hard to say. Hard to know the details of the life of someone so private, so quiet, so nearly anonymous. When she began to invade my dreams, I looked for stories about women like her because I knew that I had come across them before. And here is what a simple search uncovered. In the Pacific Northwest, in a coastal town in Washington State, a 98-year-old woman died and directed that the small fortune of $4.5 million she had amassed all be spent to improve her little seaside town. In Lake Lillian, Minnesota, a 97-year-old woman left in her will the sum of about $6 million to be spent entirely in her community of 238 people. That's more than $25,000 per person if they just divvied it up. In Lake Forest, Illinois, a 100-year-old woman died and left $7 million to her alma mater, a little local college that you and I have never heard of. In Scotland, an 83-year-old spinster, as the Scots insist on calling her, left £1.8 million sterling to the Scottish SPCA. Back in California, a 96-year-old woman left $1.7 million to the Salvation Army. Now, do you remember the widow who has been so much on my mind? We have all heard these stories, and some of us have heard the stories that never made it into the papers, stories about churches just like St. Mark's that are the beneficiaries of the largesse of these secret millionaires, these little old ladies who have been preparing a surprise for their lucky churches. What church doesn't dream of such a secret millionaire who will shower generosity on it? When such a widow has been in your own midst and on your own mind, you start to wonder about her. What made her the way she is? Now, widows, of course, have been hurt by loss. They are defined by something missing in their lives, by a relationship that they once had, but now they can only long for. Widows have suffered. They know something of pain and brokenness. They know loneliness, too. And they know what it is like to plead with God for mercy, to long, to beg God to make things turn out differently, to fix something that is beyond their own ability to fix, even though they have fixed a great deal of things in their lives before. Widows know what it feels like to be weak and at the end of their rope. They know what it feels like to have run out of hope. They know what it feels like to consider the possibility that God has deserted them, along with everybody else. Widows know what it feels like to conclude that they must now get on with something, with life on their own, without any help, without the possibility of much joy, without the hope of much promise. Widows know resignation, maybe despair. Virtue is often attributed to widows, a characteristic they do not always think they deserve. It's earned, I suppose, through acceptance, which is sometimes manifest in widows in a kind of wisdom. And some widows, apparently, are shrewd investors or careful savers or maybe just cheapskates. But by whatever means, they reach a certain age with a certain fortune. And some widows are these secret millionaires who keep their wealth a secret, but whose generosity is eventually and dramatically revealed. Boy, do we love those widows. Everyone dreams of such a widow, that such a widow inhabits their small town, their college, their church. Have you ever dreamt that such a widow was a part of the congregation here at St. Mark's, as I have? And when you have noticed that there are things that need to be done here, work that you imagine we could accomplish, whether it's tending to buildings or establishing new programs or caring for the needy, have you hoped, as I have, that there was among us a secret millionaire, a widow whose name you don't know, but who is probably sitting over on one of the side aisles, under her hat or her veil, whose generosity will eventually provide for all that we need in this parish? Oh, I've had those dreams. They're wonderful dreams. I've wondered about one or two of you, I have to admit. But of course, the secret wealth was to be found where I least expected it. I thought she had barely two nickels to rub together, two pennies, like the widow in the gospel this morning. But how I underestimated her. Have you guessed at the identity of the widow in our midst? My friends, my dear ones, you are the widow yourselves, for you are the widow with a secret fortune. I know that you lead a straightforward life, most of you, not a lot of extravagances. Some of you feel unknown or unnoticed. Some of you want to stay that way. You are not old, but you have lived enough to learn a thing or two in your time. Some of you have families, but it has been a long time since your kids were in church with you, except for the holidays, and you wonder if they will ever find their way back to the church again. You are a faithful churchgoer, as faithful as you can be with all the other things that you have going on in your life, and you are not here for recognition or attention. You simply don't require them. And you know pain and loss in your life, don't you? You know suffering, brokenness, and loneliness. You know what it is like to plead with God for mercy, to make things turn out differently, whatever it is that drove you to your knees. You know what it feels like to be weak and at the end of your rope. You know what it feels like to run out of hope. Maybe you know what it feels like to suspect that God has deserted you. Maybe you know resignation. Maybe you know despair. Maybe you know that people attribute virtues to you that you do not think you deserve. So it's not that things have always been peachy for you. You know this, and I know it too. You are the widow. But I hear you objecting. You are not wealthy. You have enough, generally speaking, but not too much. You cannot afford to be extravagant. You're happy to put in your two pennies, even more. But let's be reasonable. You are no secret millionaire. Maybe, maybe not. I have no way of knowing, and neither does it especially matter to me whether or not you are. For here is the truth that Jesus is getting at when he points to a widow with her two pennies as an example, for she, out of her poverty, has given everything she had. And the truth is this, that the wealth of the church lies in the generosity of those who give, and most of us have more to give than we are prepared to. Interestingly, Jesus does not pull the widow aside and offer her a seminar in estate planning, though I'm sure it would have been useful to her. But he praises her for her generosity in the here and now. He does not eye her quietly as the potential donor of a planned gift, though I'm sure he would be glad to help her fill out the paperwork to establish a deferred annuity trust, as I would be glad to help any of you do as well. But he celebrates her generosity in the moment. Jesus and the widow know the same thing, that she can afford to give as much as she wants because everything she has came from God, everything she is going to have comes from God, and God will provide. So sometimes you just have to feel free in giving it away. Most of us are relatively stingy. We are the wrong kind of widow, the kinds who hoard it for another day, willing to be praised in death for our careful planning, but not willing to risk being generous in life. Now, don't get me wrong. God accepts both kinds of generosity and several credit cards as well. But let me ask you this. What is going on with these secret millionaires? What are they waiting for? They were never going to use the money for themselves anyway. It's only a kind of neurosis that leaves them so rich at the end of their lives. And it is, of course, a lovely thing to be able to leave a generous fortune to your town, your school, your favorite charity, even your church when you die. But how much better to be giving while you are alive? What a shame that the widows who were secret millionaires never knew the feeling of the widow of Zarephath knew, or the widow that had two pennies in the gospel. What a shame that they never knew the lightness in your step that you get from giving, never knew how tall they'd stand despite the toll that age had taken on their bones and their stature. What a shame to sleep on a proverbial mattress full of money, nursing the secret suspicion that God doesn't care about you and would never provide for you. You and I are widows whose lives have known loss and pain and misery, and by the grace of God, we have also known healing and comfort and love, I pray. Maybe we are secret millionaires. Maybe not. Maybe that remains to be seen for some of you. Maybe we have plans to leave a small or a great fortune to the church. That's okay. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. But let's not be the wrong kinds of widows. Let's not let our planning for death outdo our generosity in life. And let's not assume that there will be some other widow who will leave her fortune to the church. For you have a fortune, and I have a fortune. Maybe smaller than the person next to yours, maybe bigger, who knows. And we can do a lot better than putting two pennies in, for the most part. But we can't do any better than that wonderful anonymous widow who put in everything she had and then went back to her pew over in one of the side aisles and said her prayers quietly and thanked God for all that he had given her and determined that next week she'd be back to do the same again, because doing so she felt better, more fully alive, when she gave away more than anyone thought she could possibly afford. And after all, everything she had, she knew, came from God. And everything she was going to have would come from God. And God will provide. So why not give a goodly portion of it back to the one who gave it to us in the first place? In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.